O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Psalm 139, we've just read it, or at least we've read most of it, but the hymn book has missed out a few verses. I'm going to read them because they are such a contrast to the rest of the psalm. Verse 18 said, were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And then verse 19, if only you would slay the wicked, O God. Apart away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Then it finishes, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. What a contrast. What a contrast in the psalm. And I thank God for the psalms and for the honesty of the psalms. Because very, very often the psalms go like that. They go almost from one extreme to another. It's ascribed in the Bible as a psalm of David. We know about David. David was not perfect. You only have to think about his life. Think of that episode particularly with Bathsheba and Uriah. And realize that David had his faults and his enemies. The psalm is very, very honest. And it's almost as if the psalmist is saying, Lord, examine me. Examine me. Probe my heart and examine me. Lord, you look right through me. You know how I'm feeling. You know all these accusations that have been placed against me by all these enemies around about. And you, Lord, know what is true and what is right. It's almost as if the psalmist is appealing to God as his judge. You know what these people are saying about me, saying against me. But you, Lord, see to the heart, and you know what is right. Test me, Lord, and you will find nothing wanting. They're accusing him, and he appeals to God as his judge. And if you look through the Psalms when you get home, you will find several of the Psalms on a similar theme. I just point you towards Psalm 17 as being one of them. Search me, O God, and know my heart. So having tried to explain perhaps why the psalmist is putting all these thoughts together, let's look at it in detail and see something of the psalm. I don't know if you can do this, David. I'm going to go through it more or less in order. So if you want to put the first verses up and then see how we're going. If I jump about a little bit, don't worry. I am going through more or less in order. It starts by telling us that, God, you have searched me and you know me. You know, all of us at times want to make a good impression, don't we? I guess lots of us at various times in our lives have been on job interviews. And you go off to a job interview and you put on your best suit or a nice dress, whatever's appropriate. You make sure your nails are clean. You make sure everything is right and proper. People doing the interview know a little bit about you beforehand. They'll have had your letter of application, perhaps your CV. They may even have taken up references. If you're well known, they may have asked one or two people about you. It's amazing what you can find out on the internet nowadays. If you put in Philip Staves onto the internet, ever so many hits come up of various things. If you spell it right with two L's, if you spell it right with one L, if you spell it right for me with two L's, if you spell it with just one L, you'll discover that I'm an organist up in North Allerton, right? Which I'm not. That's my second cousin, actually. You can find out little bits about people all the time. But when you sit down in that job interview, people do not know you from the inside out. They know something about you. In the course of the interview, they're going to find out a little bit more. And then they'll decide whether to take you on. God knows all about you. And God has taken you on board. That's the wonderful thing about God. When Jesus met his first disciples, you remember when in the calling of Nathanael in John's Gospel, Jesus saw him sat underneath, he was sat underneath the fig tree. And Jesus called him and told him things about him. And Nathanael went, wow, you know all that? Of course, because Jesus is God. Jesus called his disciples, all of them, including Judas Iscariot, knowing all about them and what was in their hearts. And Jesus calls us with all our faults and with all our failings. It says, you have searched me and you know me. And know is one of those words which I feel over the years has been watered down. I know something about football in the sense that I know that Spurs are top and Chelsea and Spurs are at the top. Stoke City, I think, is third. You see, here I'm saying I think Stoke City are third. I know a little bit about football, and when I meet somebody in the street or in hospital or wherever, I can have a conversation about football But I can't say I know it fully. I'm no expert on the subject. I know a little, but God knows everything. If you look at the word which we have translated here as know, in the original, in the Hebrew, it has a meaning of finding out to know, knowing fully, being aware. It has the meaning of to be sure, to be certain. And it's also the word that's used in the Old Testament, and you get this in the old translations of the Bible, where a man and wife come together, and it says something like, the man knew his wife. In other words, they laid together. And what's more intimate, what's more knowing than that? And it's all the same word. And that's the word that's used here for the way God knows us. He knows us intimately from the inside out. He knows, in verse 2, our thoughts, our actions, and our words. All of them are known to God. Verse 2, you perceive my thoughts from afar. If you go on to verse 3, you discern my going out and my lying down. God knows our actions. And then verse 4, a frightening one in some ways, before the word is on my tongue, you know it completely, oh Lord. God knows all these things about us. I don't think that's because we are robots. I do not believe that God plans all the things of our lives, what we think, we do, or we say. God has given us free will, in that we can choose what we do. I have to say this because of my work and my job. I do not believe, I cannot believe, that God sends illness and misfortune on people. I cannot equate a God of love as one who sends illness and misfortune. I believe illness is part of the fallen world which we live in. It will not be there in heaven. For heaven is perfect, and once there, all will be right, all will be proper. I won't need my glasses on to read the page. You will all be able to walk and skip and dance again. All will be well in heaven because that is the perfect world that God designed and really wanted this earth to be. But illness is just part of the fall. I don't believe that God sends it. I do believe that God can and does use every situation we find ourselves in and teach us through it. But I don't believe God sends it in the first place. And yet God's all-knowing is such that God knows what we are about, our thoughts and our actions and our words. The psalmist goes on to say, you hem me in. I think it's verse 5. You hem me in behind and before. What do we mean by hemming something in? Or keeping an eye on them? I expect like you'd hem in a child, perhaps, with a playpen or on some reins. You know where they are. You know what they're doing. Well, the first thing that struck me when I was doing the preparation for this and I saw the word hem the other day was a hem on a shirt. And why do you put a hem on a shirt or on a garment? Well, you put it there so that it won't tear, so that it won't fray, so that the edges won't get tatty. It will stay together. And God has put that hem, if you like, on our lives. That he knows all about us. And then it goes on to say that such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Or as the modern translation, the Message, puts it here, Lord, I can't take it all in. Everything about God is on such a vast and enormous scale, including his knowledge of us, and with that knowledge, his love. I mentioned a few minutes ago that an item of news, the 61 million population, another big item of news this week, is the cancellation of Big Brother. Looking around the room to see who's disappointed. It's been going 10 years now, or at least this is the 10th one. And when it started in 2000, Big Brother was the big event of the television year. In fact, I think it was the second most watched programme, certainly on Channel 4. Something like three quarters of all 16 to 35-year-olds, that was the target audience, watched Big Brother that first year. And a huge number of the population have watched Big Brother at some stage. I'm told the average was something like 2 hours, 40 minutes, something like that. I don't know who was watching my part of it. I confess to having watched it, but I've certainly not watched it for that long. I watched it back in 2000 to see what it was all about, and I thought, oh, golly, can we really spend all our time watching what other people do? Because some of it, quite honestly, I thought was downright boring. But the thing about Big Brother, which is why I mention it here, is that God sees us all the time. He's Big Brother, if you like, constantly watching. Watching the interesting, watching the boring, watching the downright mundane, watching the things that frankly we'd rather he didn't watch, knowing the things that honestly we'd rather he didn't know. God watches those. Oh yes, he's saddened by it at times, but he still loves us. For God's love is far greater and higher and stronger than anything that we can do down below to upset him. I've mentioned the disciples already. Think about Peter. Think about how it was when Peter let Jesus down, when he denied him. Those three times just prior to the crucifixion. Jesus still loved him. And at the end of the gospel, we hear of Peter being restored again by the Lord. Let's move on to verse 7. Verse 7 asks the question, where can I go from your spirit? And the psalmist comes to realize that there is nowhere, absolutely nowhere, where he cannot go. He talks about in verse 8, the height and the depth of God's knowledge. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Then he goes on in verse 9. Verse 9, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea. He's talking about the east and the west. Rising on the wings of the dawn is obviously the east. To the Hebrews in ancient times, the far side of the sea was the west. Another item of news this week is of the young man, Mike Perham, who sailed around the world. I didn't realise until I read it in more detail, but he's only 17 now as he comes back into these shores. And it's taken him about a year, hasn't it, to go around the world. And he set off in an easterly direction. He set off sort of going that way. And he's reappeared coming back the other, from the west. Where can I go from God? If I sail to the east, can I get there? No. If I sail to the west, can I get there? No. Because God's knowledge is always, it's infinite. Then if we go on to verse 11, a modern translation puts it this way. Then I said to myself, he even sees me in the dark. You know, with little children, with your own children or your grandchildren, you often play the game, you know, peepo. Little children get the idea that if they cover over their eyes so that they can't see, you can't see them. Yes, we've been in that sort of state. I know I have. Even in the darkness, God sees us. One of the wonderful things to me in natural history programs of the last few years has been these nighttime cameras and seeing things that go on at night. The world is still alive and teeming. Part of my job at times involves me going into the hospital at night if I'm called in because they need a chaplain. And when I drive home through Cambridge, I've seen, you know, I can't think of any trip I've ever made into Cambridge in the hours of darkness when I have not seen somebody on a bicycle. People are still cycling around. It's amazing, particularly on a Friday and Saturday in the small hours, how many people are still out and about on the streets. It's amazing the wildlife. I also see foxes running across the road where you probably wouldn't expect them. The world is alive even in the darkness. And God sees it all. For God is light. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And really, that's a foretaste of what John writes in his epistle, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You know, quite often, we fear the darkness. Quite often we fear the unknown. I know it's a fear of quite a few patients in hospital, nighttime, going to sleep. Sometimes they're worried about the dreams they might have brought on by some of the drugs that they're on. Sometimes they're worried about being put under for an operation, going to sleep there, for the fear that they might not wake up. We might be asleep, we might be out of it in the darkness, but God goes on working. God is our creator God. Verse 13. God, for you created my inmost being. I don't know what you think of when you think of as God. Think of God as being creator. Is it the big things? Is it the solar system, this world in which we live, the beauty of the land? I don't know if you saw the coast program on Tuesday evening in Norway. The beauty of the fjords and the coastline, absolutely gorgeous. All created by God, a loving God. But God also created the small things. It's been my privilege a couple of times over the years to spend the morning with the radiographers in the hospital to see what they do. And to be, well, it's not behind the screens nowadays, it's actually some distance away in their operating room, as it were, looking at the monitors, looking at the screens as they scan somebody, as they look inside a person. I can remember going in one morning and they were comparing somebody who had been in a few weeks ago to have a scan on his neck, to have a look at a tumour. The gentleman had had some treatment in the meanwhile and now we were scanning him again to see what had happened. And even I could see the difference. And then I said to the radiographer, tell me, you know, how big is that actual tumour? She said, if we put it on your fingertip, it would only cover a very, very small fraction of it. Tiny, tiny thing. And yet it was there to be seen. And that's how God sees us. God sees even the small things. God's care for us goes on, we are told, from from conception, not from birth, but from when we're together in our mother's womb, when we were knit together in that secret place. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Can you go on to the next slide? When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. I guess a lot of you now with young children will have had an ultrasound scan before the children were born. And you look into that secret space and you can make out something of the child. I was fortunate when Andrew was in the womb. In one way I was unfortunate. We were sent to London for a scan. And in London, this is 20 years ago, the scans were so sophisticated and so clear that even I could tell it was a boy. And Andrew was in the womb sucking his thumb. Wonderful. And he's been relaxed and laid back ever since. God knows us always. Go on to verse 17, please, David. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And just as God has known us from the beginning, so it tells us that God will know us for all our days. We talked about height and depth earlier on, about God knowing the length and the breadth. And God's also there in the dimension of time, from before we were through all our days. God knows about them. Go on to the next one, please. How vast is the sum of them? If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Trying to count them would be such a futile idea. You might drop off to sleep in doing it. And when I awake, I am still with you. And then if we move to the final verse, to just those final verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. The psalmist is asking God to discern his thoughts, his inner motives. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So a lovely psalm, a beautiful psalm, a psalm which I commend to you, perhaps for times of difficulty, for times of trial, for times when you feel that everything is against you. Think of this psalm. For God knowing everything, all that has been, all that is now, and all that is to come, loves you. He loves you from the inside out, and he desires you to know that love and be reassured by it.